Good morning and happy Sabbath. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Thank you, Hillary and Janine. I love that song. I just about fell off my seat when I looked at the bulletin and saw the title of this special music, "Come to Jesus," because that's exactly where I was headed with this message. Actually, I was thinking of "Run to Jesus," but "Come to Jesus" works, doesn't it? James, so good to see you here. You're inspiring, and your testimony, your life, shines the power of God in a person's life when they surrender and they are given to Jesus. So welcome home. The journey continues. I know you heard those words very clearly, but I want to reiterate them. I want to read them again to you, and I want them to sink in. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus in your living room by yourself with nobody else watching. Dance for Jesus and live. Amen, Irma, right? Oh, someday, someday. And with your final heartbeat, this is my prayer, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. And live. Live. Let me ask you, who's the focus here? What direction is this going? To Jesus. Jesus is the focus. Jesus is where we need to turn. In all things, at all times. And so today our focus is Jesus. We seek Jesus. We humbly serve each other. And as we do that, by washing each other's feet, we want to get our pride and self-righteousness, we want to get ourselves out of the way and focus on Jesus. Open our hearts up to Him, to His healing and His forgiveness. And then as we are ready to receive Him into our lives together, we will break bread, we'll eat bread and drink juice that represents Jesus' life given for us. So, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Let's pray. Lord, we have come here today to meet Jesus. We have come here to be open to Jesus. We want Jesus. Tear down any barriers that we might be holding up to Jesus, against Jesus. Any hesitations that we might have, let us run to Jesus this morning and be healed and be cleansed and free, forgiven of all of our sins. We pray this. Send your Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to a very familiar conversation. This is in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, starting with verse 6. John 13, verse 6. And this conversation is between Peter and Jesus. This is in the upper room. This is the setting, the context in the upper room, and they are there together. Jesus and his disciples are gathered there to celebrate the Last Supper, or the Passover Supper, to be precise. And Jesus, having waited and pausing for something to happen and for things to settle down and sink into their hearts, Jesus took on the role of a servant girded himself with a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet, going around from one disciple to the next around the circle. We pick it up in verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You see, Peter was having a difficult time putting all this together. Here was Jesus, whom he happened to believe to be the Son of God in human flesh, washing dirty human feet. And in Peter's mind, these two did not connect. They were incongruent. They were a contradiction. They were opposing truths. How can you put a holy God in close proximity to dirty feet? How can you put holiness and sin together? Peter was having a hard time with this. My own translation of Peter's response, how can you, Jesus, come in direct contact with my dirty feet? In Desire of Ages, Ellen White writes, his soul, that's Peter's soul, rose up against this humiliation. He did not realize that for this Christ came into the world. With great emphasis, he exclaimed, thou shalt never wash my feet. Shame drives us away from Jesus. Again, from Desire of Ages. Peter shrank from bringing his soiled feet in contact with the hands of his Lord and Master. Don't we do the same thing? When we sin, we hesitate in coming to Jesus, who is the very one who forgives us and cleanses us. When our sinful life is put up against Christ's holy life, we are ashamed, and rightly so. We resist coming close to Jesus. Our natural inclination is to wait till we can become better. But this is a fallacy. Because we can't become better. We cannot become better in our own strength. We need Jesus to become better. We need Jesus to be clean. And the first place we should run is into the loving arms, accepting arms, wide open arms of Jesus, who will pick us up, dust us off, put us back on our feet again. I'm reminded of the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, where did they go? What did they do? They went away from God, and God had to pursue them. Hello? Where are you? We playing hide and seek here? That's what we do, don't we? I was attending Columbia Academy back in the day when it was a boarding school. I transferred from Livingston Junior Academy in Salem, Oregon in my middle of my sophomore year. So I was the new kid at school. I was the new kid. But to my surprise, I was accepted and received a lot of attention, which was really nice. What was especially nice was the attention I was getting from the girls' dorm. And it wasn't long before I had a girlfriend. Well, this was brand new territory for me. She was really nice and pretty. And I even wrote her name on the inside of my baseball glove. Jeannie. She was special. Soon, however, I broke up with Jeannie because there was another girl that caught my attention. And we began to hang out together, and I felt kind of bad for my first girlfriend, Jeannie, but hey, all's fair in love and war, right? Well, I didn't stop there. I began to break an unspoken rule, which says, one girlfriend at a time. I couldn't help myself. I had not seen so many wonderful girls in one place at one time in my whole entire life. And they were all so nice to me. How can you just have one? So I started playing the field. I began developing special friendships with not one or two. I know. But three girlfriends at the same time. My conscience was bothering me a little, and I knew it wasn't a good thing, but I liked them all. I couldn't limit myself to just one. Well, something had to be done, and unbeknownst to myself, the girls had gotten together and decided that enough was enough, and that I was going to have to face the music and make a decision, or else. I remember the incident clearly. In that day and age, the girls sat on one side of the church, and the boys sat on the other side of the church. It was a beautiful springtime Friday night Vespers program. We were in the church, and we were singing songs, and we listened to the speaker, and we stood for the benediction, and we began filing out of the church to make our way down to the bottom of the steps in front of the church to socialize, that we were allowed to do that. As I was making my way out the back of the church through the front doors of the church, I just happened to glance down at the crowd that was forming below, and my heart stopped. There, huddling together, were my three girlfriends, obviously waiting for me to come out of the church and confront me with my transgressions. Take a guess at what I did. I ran, that's right, like a chicken. I whirled around, went back into the church, flew out of the side exit of the church, and made my way as quickly as possible to my dorm room. Okay? I did not want to face the music. I avoided coming in contact with my three soon-to-be ex-girlfriends. Sorry, Daryl. I disappoint you. Like Peter, when we come into proximity with what is right and good, we usually run. We resist. We avoid. We run away from the very source of forgiveness, cleansing, and freedom. How much better would it have been if I would have just marched down those steps, faced the music, come in contact with face-to-face with those girls, come clean, and ask for forgiveness? How much better that would have been. Peter was so ashamed of himself that he shrank away from Jesus and said, "No, you shall never wash my feet." Look at what Jesus said in reply to him. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And that is precisely when the light bulbs came on in Peter's mind. He began to understand that the act of Jesus washing his feet had a deeper meaning, a deeper symbolic cleansing from sin that only Jesus can provide. He realized that sin, if held onto, would separate him from his Savior. And he stood there and did an about-face, a 180-degree turn, because he could not fathom, he could not stand the thought of being separated from his Lord. And he said, "Then, Lord," notice the whole different direction from, "No, you shall never wash my feet," to, "That's the case, Lord. Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Wash all of me." And Jesus said, "Your feet, that's enough." My friends, today we have a perfect opportunity to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. We have an opportunity to get completely clean, to be washed of all of our sins that have accumulated. The act of washing each other's physical feet has a deeper spiritual meaning and reality of entering into Jesus' power to forgive, wash away our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you up for that? Are you ready for that? Do you want that to happen? Come to Jesus. No matter what you are facing, bring yourself just as you are to Jesus. Whatever your need is, come to Jesus. In need of cleansing right now? I'm there. Come to Jesus. There is no sin so great that God cannot and will not forgive if we humbly surrender ourselves to Him. And so I would encourage each one of you to participate in this feet washing experience. It is a wonderful experience. Some of you may not be able to or feel comfortable with this experience of washing each other's feet. And I just would encourage you to stay here, invite you to stay here and meditate and pray and prepare your heart to receive the Lord's Supper, to follow our foot washing experience. But I would encourage you, I would implore you, I would say, everyone, let's do this. Let's wash each other's feet and make it meaningful in our hearts. Open our hearts up to Jesus and understand and realize what Peter realized, that Jesus is the place where we need to be to get ourselves right with God. There's nothing more important for us to do than to be right with God and to have our sins completely wiped clean. Though our sins be of scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So let's do this. We have places for us to participate. Men only are in the early teen room, ladies only in the youth chapel, and family and couples in the fellowship hall. Let's separate right now. Really encourage you to participate in this. Make it spiritual and meaningful. Understand as you wash each other's feet and your feet are being washed that you are being cleansed from all unrighteousness, all sin. Your slate is clean in heaven. You're good with God. So let's go and wash each other's feet right now.